It is Tuesday, May 1st, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, the IAEA says there are no credible indications of nuclear weapons activity in Iran since 2009. President Donald Trump assails the Russia probe as the investigators questioned are leaked, according to a U.S. newspaper. And Kanye West continues to evolve as a performer and an entrepreneur. It's all ahead. UN's nuclear watchdog called attention Tuesday to a 2015 report by its director that said it had no credible indications of Iranian activity linked to the development of nuclear weapons after 2009. The report presented by International Atomic Energy Agency Chief Yukiya Amano ended a more than decade-long investigation into allegations Iran worked to develop nuclear arms, which Iran repeatedly denied. The IAEA statement comes a day after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu presented materials he said showed evidence Iran covered up nuclear arms work. Speaking almost exclusively in English Monday, Netanyahu's public disclosure came just days before President Donald Trump is expected to decide whether to reimpose sanctions in Iran, which would essentially mean Washington is walking away from the 2015 International Nuclear Agreement. The Israeli leader said it proves the Islamic Republic has been lying about its nuclear weapons intentions.
A few weeks ago, in a great intelligence achievement, Israel obtained half a ton of the material inside these vaults. And here's what we got. 55,000 pages, another 55,000 files on 183 CDs. Here's what the files included. Incriminating documents, incriminating charts, incriminating presentations, incriminating blueprints, incriminating photos, incriminating videos, and more.
Mr. Netanyahu said he shared the trove with the U.S. president. Trump called the revelation unacceptable. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said while the information showed Iran's leaders lied to their people, he stopped short of saying Tehran violated the 2015 accord. Guy Ziv, an assistant professor at the American University School of International Service, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty the Israeli presentation underscores the lies Iran used to disguise their intentions and the purposes of its nuclear program. He says it also reveals the incredible reach of Israeli intelligence to gain such a vast array of documents from a sealed facility in Tehran.
However, we're talking about something that we knew the Iranians had been doing, which is lying. Perhaps it convinced the few people who did not believe that Iran had a nuclear weapons program. But for the rest of us, this wasn't really news. There was no revelation of Iranian noncompliance with a nuclear agreement. And I think that that's what people were hoping to see, and he wasn't able to deliver on that.
Those who argue for the agreement, like the French ambassador to Washington, tweeted that information about past Iranian nuclear activity was, in fact, an argument in favor of the nuclear deal.
Yeah, I tweeted something very similar. I think that, if anything, it demonstrates the need to hold the Iranians accountable. And the Iran deal does have a pretty strong, robust verification mechanism in place. Even Secretary of Defense Mattis said it had a robust verification. This verification isn't based on what the Iranians say or don't say. It's a comprehensive safeguards agreement that is in place. I think it would be a mistake to scrap the deal.
But once again, the president indicated it's a horrible agreement.
And I think, therefore, that this speech that Netanyahu gave was most likely coordinated with the president and will facilitate the president's likely move to scrap the deal by May 12th.
There is a report by Reuters that Iran has indicated it has the technical capability to enrich uranium to a higher level than it could before a multinational nuclear deal was reached. Obviously, Iran is primed and ready, perhaps, if this deal is scrapped.
There were many reports before the nuclear deal that Iran was just a couple of months away from becoming a nuclear weapons state. And so I'm not sure what's to prevent them from becoming a nuclear weapon state if the deal is scrapped.
The French president, of course, last week argued that the deal should not be scrapped but replaced. and expanded and strengthened. Is that going to be a possibility?
It's a possibility, but it doesn't look like it's all that likely. It seems to me that Trump has made up his mind to nix the deal, not to fix it.
Guy Zev of the American University School of International Service. It is time now for social media. Today is May Day, May 1st, and social media is reacting. The holiday is both observed as a time to honor spring and a day to honor workers. Former Democratic U.S. presidential candidate Bernie Sanders tweets, "Every day we must strive for a just and moral economy with decent wages, decent benefits, and decent working conditions for all. That is a struggle that must be carried on by every generation. Hashtag May Day." Chase Strangio tweets, "Happy hashtag May Day, especially to all those whose labor is criminalized and unpaid. Prisoners, sex workers, caretakers." Joey M., Your Voice America, tweets, "As the liberal left celebrate hashtag May Day, let's remember that capitalism is the only system of economy that allows prosperity. Socialism and communism focus on making everyone poor together." Far Left Watch tweets, "This hashtag May Day, hundreds of thousands of protesters across the world will fly the flag of communist dictators who have butchered millions, demand a more authoritarian government, and be praised by the media for doing so." Well, also trending on social media is hashtag Tony Awards 2018. The nominations for the Tony Awards, which honor the best productions on New York's Broadway, have been announced. The musicals SpongeBob SquarePants and Mean Girls received 12 nominations each, and Angels in America and Harry Potter and the Cursed Child received 11 and 10, respectively. Two revivals of famed musicals, My Fair Lady and Carousel, are among the shows receiving nominations. Bruce Springsteen, Cheetah Rivera, and Andrew Lloyd Webber will be among those receiving special honors for their work on stage. The awards will be distributed on June 10th. That's a look at social media. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. Pakistan reopens a major trade route with Afghanistan. Senator John McCain, in a new book, assails President Donald Trump. A World Health Organization worker is shot dead in Somalia, and more than 20 are killed in a bombing in northeastern Nigeria. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Mercury is the closest planet to the sun, and very little is really known about this hot, rocky orb. Only two space probes have ever studied Mercury. NASA's Mariner 10 back in 1973 and 1974, and MESSENGER between 2011 and 2015. Information from MESSENGER allowed scientists to determine that Mercury's crust was about 35 kilometers thick. But Michael Sori from the University of Arizona used some sophisticated mathematical calculations to determine that the crust of Mercury is denser than aluminum and about 26 kilometers thick. Officials from the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency and the European Space Agency say their upcoming BepiColombo mission will conduct a comprehensive study of Mercury. An October 2018 launch date is planned for their mission. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, outside the U.S. port of entry, asylum seekers are preparing to make their case. We'll have a report. President Donald Trump fired off new angry tweets Tuesday at the criminal investigation into his 2016 election campaign's links to Russia and his White House actions. Trump derided special counsel Robert Mueller's probe and said it was disgraceful that dozens of questions investigators want to ask Trump were leaked to the news media. He contended that it would be very hard to obstruct the probe if, as he says, there was no collusion with Russia to help him win the election. The New York Times on Tuesday published a list of questions. I spoke with VOA Justice correspondent Masoud Farivar about the Mueller questions.
Well, let me provide some context or perspective here how these questions came about. The questions, as the Times piece points out, were read to lawyers for the president over the phone, who in turn compiled them into a list, and then the list somehow got leaked to the press. Now, this is very unusual for a prosecutor to share questions, written questions, in advance with the subject of an interview. What this means is that these are not the questions that the special counsel will ultimately be asking. There will be follow-up questions, and those will be the most challenging. And probably some of these questions will not get asked. But it's highly unusual for a prosecutor to share these questions in advance. And the lawyers and former prosecutors that I've talked to in the last couple of hours are deeply skeptical about this list.
Could this list show, like, the direction of the way the investigation is going, though?
A whole lot. I think most of these questions are very open-ended questions that prosecutors with a lot of evidence and detailed information about the case would not ask. But they do show two things. One, that the question of obstruction of justice is also something that the special counsel is still investigating, both in the case of the firing of former FBI Director James Comey and former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. And the second important thing about these questions is that there are about half a dozen or so questions about Russia and potential coordination between the Trump campaign and the Russians. That, despite the fact that the president tweeted this morning that there were no questions about collusion on the list. Now, the word collusion was left out for obvious reasons. Prosecutors do not use the word collusion. The special counsel's mandate is to investigate potential coordination between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
And I believe there, again, are rumors or reports that some of this involved a meeting at Trump Tower between Donald Trump Jr. and he was seeking to find out negative information about former Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton.
That's correct. I mean, that's one of the questions on the list that's been widely reported. One question is also about how the meeting was presented to the press. The president reportedly helped draft a statement about the nature of that meeting that actually mischaracterized the actual topic of the conversation. There are also questions that have not come to light in the past, including one that asks whether the president has any knowledge that his campaign, including his former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, reached out to the Russians and sought their assistance. Now, that had never been reported before, but that is on the list.
That's VOA Justice correspondent Masoud Farivar. Well, after more than a month of travel by foot, bus, and train, a caravan of Central American migrants has arrived at Tijuana's U.S.-Mexico port of entry in a bid to receive asylum. But according to U.S. immigration officials, the California crossing was already at capacity for asylum seekers, leading the caravan's roughly 150 men, women, and children to set up camp and wait it out. But late Monday, the first of these migrants were allowed to enter the United States for processing. VOA's Ramon Taylor reports.
Overwhelmed with emotion, more than 150 migrants have nearly completed their journey north from Central America, where many say they fled a life defined by violence.
I'm happy for the opportunity and doubtful because of what could happen.
U.S. law permits individuals to seek asylum, which is granted if they can demonstrate a credible fear of persecution. But upon arrival at the U.S.-Mexico border, the migrants' long wait continued. Immigration officials said the port of entry, which has capacity for about 300 people, was already full.
They're just saying they'll handle the people when they have the capacity. But how can it be that the American government, the most powerful government of the world, and one of the richest, does not have the capacity to process 200 refugees, people who are very vulnerable? I don't believe it.
Many migrants camped overnight with their belongings outside the gate. On Monday, President Trump said he was monitoring the caravan. He also renewed his criticism of a policy known as catch and release, which allows migrants to be released from prolonged detention into the U.S. while the statuses of their asylum cases are pending.
If they touch our property, if they touch our country, essentially you catch them and you release them into our country. That's not acceptable to anybody. So we need a change in the law.
People who seek asylum at the U.S. ports of entry are abiding by the law. The U.S. Border Patrol, which monitors the 3,000-kilometer U.S.-Mexico border between the ports of entry, asks would-be crossers to avoid entering elsewhere.
We understand that they have a dream, they have a need. There are laws in this country. We need to abide by them. We expect everybody that's coming to our country to abide by those laws, and we're here to enforce them.
Among the caravan of U.S. asylum hopefuls, roughly half are minors accompanied by their parents. And not all think they will be granted asylum. Luis Pavon decided to stay behind in Mexico as his wife and daughter begin the asylum process.
I wouldn't be able to see my daughter again, but at least here, on this side of the border, I have the possibility of one day seeing her again.
Ramon Taylor, VOA News.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong. You love music? How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
This is International Edition. Kanye West is known for many talents. He's a rapper, singer, songwriter, producer, fashion designer, and entrepreneur. Amid all of his exploits, he's also going solo, as Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald tells VOA's Jim Stevenson.
I just want to take you out and show you off. You already know that you're the perfect one. Girl, when I'm with you, feel like a champion. Ever since I got with you, I feel like I done won me a trophy.
The news about Kanye is always just that little bit more fascinating than anyone else because he is such an interesting character. You may know that he suffered a nervous breakdown in late 2016, and he was very much out of the limelight for much of last year. But he's back with us these days. Now, he's lately drawn fire for supporting U.S. President Donald Trump. But
yes.
What I find most interesting are Kanye's recent business moves. He has parted ways with both his managers. Last month, he left Izzy Zivkovic, and he just parted ways with Scooter Braun. Now, Scooter is the super manager who also works with Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber. Kanye reportedly wanted Scooter just to work with him. Scooter said, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Well, on Wednesday, Kanye sounded off on Twitter saying, I no longer have a manager. I can't be managed.
That's an understatement.
He went on to say that he's nobody's client and that he wants to take all of his business in-house. And that's really following in the footsteps of some other major artists like Beyonce, who are also handling their own business these days. Kanye tweeted that he wanted to fill 160 positions by the end of the year and that his Yeezy apparel line will hit $1 billion in 2018. Kanye went on to say that he's now the highest paid person in footwear, and he intends to take the Yeezy brand beyond clothing and shoes and to bring the prices down a bit. So he has big business plans. As far as music goes, Kanye is still signed to a deal with Def Jam Records, along with a publishing deal at Sony ATV. He says we can expect two albums from him in June.
Hmm.
He'll be out on June 1st with a solo album containing 7 songs. And then on June 8th, he'll drop a collaboration with fellow rapper Kid Cudi. He says their group will be called Kids See Ghost. And he has some other artists that he's going to be bringing out on his Good Music label. It's unknown whether Kanye West will sever his relationship with Def Jam and Sony ATV. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure if something happens, we will be the first to know about it, because he's not shy about letting his intentions be known.
Well, that's good news for Kanye West fans. Some new music to look forward to. And, you know, of course, who would know Kanye West better than Kanye West? Why not manage himself?
Yeah, exactly. Like he says, you know, nobody else can. That might include his wife, Kim Kardashian.
Probably. Well, we'll have to ask Kim a little bit later what she thinks of all that. But it sounds like things are going well for Kanye West. And one thing that we know for sure is Ray McDonald manages the Top 20 Countdown each and every week. You'll want to check that out on VOA 1. Thanks so much, Ray.
Thank you, Jim.
I will cry, and when you smile, I will smile. And next time when I look in your eyes, we'll have wings and we'll fly. No, my only one, just like the morning sun. You'll keep on rising till the sky knows your name. And you're still my chosen one. Remember who you are.
And that is the music of Kanye West. That is also our show for today. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. We have a range of stories that will be of interest to you on all kinds of things, music, politics, all kinds of subjects. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The barbaric practice of using civilians as human shields is a war crime, and tragically, it is on the rise in the Middle East. In an address to the Security Council, U.S. Permanent Representative to the U.N. Nikki Haley described how ISIS routinely took advantage of the presence of civilians in their homes, hospitals, schools, and mosques in order to protect its fighters from attack. When forced from their positions, ISIS terrorists rounded up families and compelled them to accompany them to new locations. But ISIS is not the only group that utilizes this vicious tactic.
Hezbollah has also endangered civilians by positioning its fighters and its weapons among them. Its terrorists use schools, hospitals, and apartment buildings to shield its war arsenal in Lebanon. In the course of its massive arms buildup, Hezbollah has turned Lebanese villages into military compounds, stationing weapons depots, rocket launchers, and command posts in, around, and under the civilian population.
Ambassador Haley noted that the UN has reported that Houthi militants in Yemen have also used civilians as human shields. Hamas, too, she said, has exploited and endangered the very Palestinian people it claims to represent by locating rocket launchers near schools, apartment buildings, hotels, churches, and UN facilities. There are threads of commonality that run through these examples, Ambassador Haley declared.
The first is Iran. As usual, Iran is the patron and protector of many of these groups that fight from behind the bodies of innocent civilians. This is part of Iran's overarching efforts to destabilize the region, efforts that include illegal weapon shipments to Yemen and invading Israeli airspace with armed drones from Syrian territory.
The second common thread is the dramatic risk to civilians.
Anyone who cares about the safety of Lebanese families should condemn this practice. Anyone who cares about the lives of Yemenis or Palestinians should demand accountability for the militants who exploit them. Anyone who truly cares about children in Gaza should insist that Hamas immediately stop using children as cannon fodder in its conflict with Israel.
This is an issue that transcends the usual debates in this chamber, Ambassador Haley said. For humanity's sake, the Security Council must rise up to address this threat.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.